G'day and thank you for visiting the Pioneer Australia website to listen to the sessions from this year's conference 2018. This session is session 3 by Rick Prosser.
You know, the Lord's doing something special in cities around the world, and it's all looking very similar. The churches are rising up together. They're becoming intentional and collaborative and strategic about their cities and taking on the burden of their cities. In every city, it's looking a little bit different, and that's one of the great challenges. And the beautiful thing, actually, is that we don't want to copy everyone. You know, what's the story? What's your story in your city? You know what I mean? I mean, our story is going to be a little bit different to Waltham. And thank God, because we haven't got 40 years. and what it's going to look like in Tamworth. I mean, the guys just met. How many guys gathered last night in City Hall in Tamworth?
Between 500 and 600.
Just the church coming together because they're invited to come and pray for come and pray that rain would fall. I tell you, there's some great opportunities opening up for the church. And when we move together, I tell you, it's just a really strong voice. It's a really strong voice. And it's a beautiful thing. Isn't that cool? There are some booklets and stuff about the, what happened there as well. And there's a movement day plan next year in May as well. And but conscious, you know, most of us are juggling a whole bunch of things. It's very difficult for us to get away anywhere, particularly if you're working full-time under trucks, working in cafes and all these other sorts of things. And but I tell you, the Lord's doing something beautiful. Christianity is the invitation to the table. That's what Christianity is. Everyone's welcome. There is a seat and there's a place. And everyone has a voice for the table and around the table. It's Christ's invitation. And when the conversations become about kingdom and when they and there's a generational participation, I just feel it's just a beautiful thing. I think it just brings the pleasure of the Lord in the place. It just brings the pleasure of the Lord. The table's prepared. It's big and broad. And there's always room for more. When you add to the table, there's always room for more. There's always more chairs coming out. And there's plenty to go around. Let's never live with stingy mindsets, thinking that what they've got is what I needed and there's not enough. The Lord is far bigger and His resources far broader than you could ever imagine. And when we live with a bigger place and a bigger mindset, and when we can celebrate what's happening in people's lives and over people's lives and other churches and what's happening around them, when another church down the road can raise $1 million for a building and we're finding hard to get $100 in the offering plate, we can still celebrate. We can still celebrate. That's the beautiful thing. It's interesting in Matthew 10, and you know the passage in Matthew 10 when Jesus sends out the 12. 10:1, Jesus called the 12 disciples, gave them authority to drive out demons. And then he goes through a whole bunch of different things, instructions. And what he was saying is what you carry will bring an open heaven into the geography that you go. You will answer the prayer of Jesus that says, "Thy kingdom will come." There will be a reflection of heaven on earth through your life. But it's interesting in that passage of Scripture in 10:14, Jesus said, when you go into a town or a village, seek someone who is willing to welcome you. Another translation says it this way. Whenever you go into a city or a village, search for a worthy person to stay at their home. And then it goes on to say in that passage of Scripture, if you don't find a worthy person that's going to embrace you and the essence of heaven coming into your city, heaven help that city. Judgment will come upon it. So what does it mean for us to become the worthy persons in our towns, in our communities, in our cities? What does it look like for us? Because what's coming needs to be received into our towns. It's easy to receive visiting speakers, isn't it? Because we don't have to live with them. We, you know, if we don't agree with them, you know, hop on a plane, go back home. You know, or if we disagree, you know, we don't have to live with that. That's always not, it's not in our face, is it? But the cost, if there's no embrace in the city, if there's no homes, welcoming homes in the city, the cost, this passage of Scripture says, is detrimental and devastating for the city. We need to go from me and my ministry to we and our ministry in our geographies. It's not just about the great work that we have going. We're just part of a bigger work that the Lord's doing. And we should be just thankful and certainly not disappointed that he's included us in his purposes and his plans, and we get to do the small portion that we have. We should just be thankful for that. It's not just me and my needs. It's them and their needs. It's the church. It's those around us. It's the other expressions of faith where there are people that love Jesus doing everything that they can, when we can get a kingdom mindset and a big embrace upon their over our landscape, then I believe the smile of heaven's coming onto our cities and our towns. And perhaps it's got a little bit to do with not just being around our table, but his table. Not just about the food that we can provide for our people, but what we can do to include others that might be outside of our network, outside of our denomination, or outside of our stream. Big-hearted, big-spirited, kingdom thinking, and kingdom practitioners. Verse 40, it says this: anyone who welcomes you will welcome me. So when you accept somebody else in the name of Jesus, it's like welcoming the Son of God himself. Another translation says this: we are intimately linked in this harvest work. We can't get away from it. This mission that Jesus has placed on all our lives, and what he's entrusted into your hands when handed over to him, and we see ourselves not just in the same geography, but intimately linked in this mission, in our geography, for his purposes and his plans. We at Pioneer, we're relationally linked here, but beautiful. Sometimes it's like you don't see somebody for 12 months, but it's like, feels like yesterday. That's wonderful. Beautiful. We need that. That'll keep going. That'll keep growing. But in our local context, it's the Father's intent that we become intimately linked in mission. We become intimately linked, that the church of the city comes together intimately, linked, committed to one another, committed to each other, celebrating one another. When we took on Life and Soul over 3 years ago now, it was interesting, more than interesting. When we came in here, we recognized that this church was doing something, and so there was a grace on this church for feeding the poor, the needy, and the vulnerable. I believe that individuals carry graces, anointings, and churches and carry those things too. And so, you know, not often, but every now and again, you'll see new leaders come into new churches and they'll change it to their vision. That's what the Lord's got for their life. And disrupt the grace that might be resting on that church. It was probably a pretty easy grace to fall into. I mean, when I'd first come to the Lord, well, prior to coming to the Lord as a young rebellious teenager, people like my wife would be in the streets talking to homeless people as a young teenager. And so for Sue, it was very, very easy, and for us. What we've learnt in that time, and what's been one of the great impacts on my faith journey in that time, is when you help people that have no capacity to repay you, it's a different world. And I've discovered that the Lord leans into the broken. And they're closer to the Lord than we think they are. In fact, they're probably more God-conscious than most of us. And so there is a grace on this particular church. We're very thankful that things are flourishing, and the position that we're in at the moment is very unique. And we're just so thankful for the support that we've received around the community. And as I said, most of our 99 cents in every dollar would come from beyond the church. And most of our volunteers beyond the church. And we just love it. We love it. Also, what was in, and so the grace that rested on this church dates back to 2003 in that particular work. So it goes back a long way. Also, all the way back then, there was a kingdom expression. About 20 years ago, the minister would have other ministers into this particular church and praying for the city, praying for it. And so there was a grace on this church. There's a grace on your church for different things, and then there's a grace on a network. And part of the reason I always connect with Ian, and apart from Ian's very compassionate counselling and pastoral work, well, come on, Rick, just get on with it. is there's a grace over his life. There's an anointing over his life and a grace for this thing. It's on our network. That's what connected us. I connected with Billy, it was about 5 or 6 when he first came out, I think it was, one of the first trips, and he was rattling off 6 points on the DNA of Pioneer and the distinctives, and then I'm going, oh yeah, that's good, yeah, that's good. And then he came to point 6, was that we hope that our Christian communities, our faith communities become a catalyst for unity. And I thought, oh my gosh, I'm in. I was in another church, and my home church that I've been part of since I was a teenager. And I said, I'm in. I had no intention of leaving the church. You know what? We're not building brands. No. You can be a part of everything if you want to. And so we're not handing out Pioneer flags for you to take home at the end of the conference. You might want one, Bryce. We don't have any in print, mate. And so there's a grace over us for this. One of the things that when we were really impressed with when one of our trips to the UK, because we'd had connections, and it was Ian and I that were in London when we met Billy and one of Roger Sutton's gatherings in London a number of years ago now, is that I learnt that these guys say this is what they want to do and they actually do it. That was pretty refreshing. You can have a whole bunch of values written down, you can have a whole bunch of statements written down, but unless they're out working somewhere somehow, it's just rubbish. You know, you gotta become what you say you are. If you're not that it yet, become that. And so one of the graces on this network is a kingdom. We're going to be catalysts for unity in our city. We're going to be bigger than our brand. We're going to be far bigger than just the people that the Lord's entrusted with. I'm not pastoring just a few people in a church that gather here and once a week on a Sunday. We're pastoring cities. That's what we're doing. We're pastoring mayors. We're pastoring business leaders that have no connection to any church, but you're the connection. And it's easy to pastor people with public profiles. You just got to read the paper. You know what I mean? Because their life's out there. You know, so when we meet and engage with people in civic authorities and different mayors around the cities, you know, we always just bless them. How's your family going? You got to understand, you got to know. We've got people praying for your family, praying blessing, not connecting to the Lord, praying blessing over your family. Because no one else is doing it. No one is doing it. Now, not all of us are going to walk in those circles and those spheres. That's fine. You know what? And heaven help us if we go away just going, well, he's doing that, I need to do that. But you know what? There are men and women of peace in your city doing it. And so perhaps our part and our place is just to applaud them and support them in that. And so that is one of the distinctives in this network. So I just thought I'd just rattle off a few things. I asked Billy last night, Billy, what was it how was it that you built this into the culture of the Pioneer Network? And he just said, well, it's just always been there. It's like, we haven't come here to build into the grace on this church for to meet the needs of the poor and the neglected in our city. It was just here. And you know what? We've learned it's always been here. Catherine over here is one of our foundation members of the church. And so it's always been in the heart of this particular church. And so I know we're all stretched and we all can't do anything. So please don't hear, you've got to go and do this and you've got to go and do that. Because we're all stretched. I know we've all got time limitations. I've got time limitations. Our availabilities are limited. But what can I do? How can I build this value into the people that's entrusted to me and into the city and the geography I'm in? Well, I'll tell you what, we can speak about it in our meetings. We can talk about it and celebrate. Let's never just talk about announcements in church and things that are happening in church that just apply to our church. It's just too limited, it's too small. People want something a little bit bigger. And I mean, we talk about soul all the time, but you know, we want our people to know that there is something bigger and we're part of something bigger. And it's not just our vision, and is not just to, our vision is not just to grow bigger. Our vision is to get our people into their vision. We're not trying to sell people on some big vision that we have at Life Church, but rather liberate people into their vision so that they might be free. So we're not going to be putting everyone on rosters. Do we need to put more people on rosters? Of course we need more people on rosters. There's always going to be lack. Just don't get discouraged about it and stay in that. You're never going to have enough people. You're never going to have enough finance. Your buildings are never going to be big enough. You might not have a building. All those sorts of things. You're never going to have enough. So just get used to it. Know that on the journey, the Lord's going to provide anyway. And acknowledge and celebrate and pray for others. It's really easy to do. Just recently, we had a church in our city, and led by a lady in our city, probably the largest church in our city now, actually. The Granary Church, some of the locals are going, yep, and great church, and you know, it's grown by, you know, we're not counting numbers actually, but grown by 20% every year for the last 3 or 4 years. It's unbelievable, and we celebrate that. Oh, we're not threatened by that at all. It would be easy to become discouraged by that if we look at our place and where we're at when you look at someone else and how good things are going for them. But when we can move together in a relationship. But these guys just raise a lot of money and open up a new building. It's so impressive. I mean, they've got a bigger kitchen than what we do. And they haven't got to work for the homeless. You know, so I go walk into this place and I'm going, my gosh, how good is this? And so but I tell you what, I don't have the rent that they do. I don't have the power bills they've got. And I tell you what, bigger buildings, bigger problems. More carpet to clean. Bigger toilets to wash. I tell you, bigger's not always better. If we see ourselves as part of the kingdom deal and the church of the city, we're big. We are big. You're big. You're not some little thing in a big pearl. You're not some little thing. No, you're part of something big, the Lord's plan. And so celebrate. When something else happens in another church around the city, get a photo of them and pray blessing over them. Just say, how good is this? How good is this? Let's help our people celebrate the body of Christ. And so let's never be threatened by that, but rather celebrate that and text them. Go to the building openings if you can. Send some of your people if you can. I mean, you don't have to do everything. And you can't do everything, of course. But celebrate. When there's a new ministry initiated in the city, it might not be initiated from here or, you know, a church that you are, but I can tell you this. It's probable if we're committed to getting people into their passion and their vision and their calling, it's probable there'll be people in your pews that will be released if they connect to it. I get a bit fortunate and connected with a lot of people around our city, different churches and different works. And somebody said to me a while ago, said, Rick, you guys are doing wonderful stuff, feeding the poor, feeding the homeless. I said, yeah, it's all good. And our church doesn't do that. And it was almost like this sense of discouragement upon, well, our church isn't doing what it should be doing and what I want it to do. And I said, well, what do you mean your church is not doing it? Well, we don't do that. I said, well, hang on. The church is doing it. I said, and we're just one of them. I know in our city that there'll be no soul in this city that was starved to death solely off the back of what the church is doing. Not just this one. We've got other churches doing meals other nights of the week. and so my little congregation may not be doing it, but the church is doing it. And if we've got somebody frustrated now, oh, that's what I want to do, well, release them to do it. That's what I say to other ministers. I say, oh, yeah, no, you people can come and volunteer. And we can live with a fear that we're going to lose someone rather than liberate someone. I'll tell you what, it's better to give than receive. And if you liberate someone into their passion, into their calling, you'll probably keep them. In fact, I almost guarantee you'll keep them. when a new pastor comes to town, welcome them. If you hear of someone else taking over in a new church. Now, you might not be able to do that. And not all of us are going to do that. Just send an email, handwrite a letter, make a phone call, get a coffee, welcome people into the city. You know why? Because we're doing it together. They're now investing into our city. This is what I love about the Pioneer thing, actually. I think we've all got long-term people in geographies. I think no one's looking for a career change or an upgrade to another city, are they? Yeah, because we feel called to a geography. You know, we feel called. This is the place the Lord's called us to plant something. We're here for long term. Oh, we're not signing 125 leases, but we are signing up for life. And many of us, I feel, in this particular room, we feel absolutely a great conviction being called to where we live. Mac Pear would say, it's probably the greatest calling ever to your geography as equivalent to calling to the Lord, to our place. And so welcome new people as they come in and encourage people. Encourage our believers and people in our church to connect with other people. Don't be threatened by it. They're probably doing it anyway. And rather than them doing covertly, thinking, oh, gee, am I doing the right thing? Just release them, bless them. Because we're kingdom people. Release it. Give people permission. Get them into their vision. You know, we have an annual Lord Mayor's Prayer Breakfast, and we had our largest one ever this last June. And it was our 10th one that we did consecutively. And, you know, when we started that, a bunch of people, we just said, oh, no, we want to institutionalise a culture in our city. This is what we do. And so we went to the Lord Mayor. It was never, can we do a prayer breakfast? Let's do an annual prayer breakfast. So we institutionalise it. So we've had three mayors since then. we've got a more of a rotating door than most in that role. And you know what? Because we deliver on what we say, we've established a credibility where people trust us. People that aren't connected to us, but they know who we are, and they know what's going to happen, and they know they're going to be honoured in it. They know it's going to create a safe place. And we're not going to talk about politics, but we're just going to call upon the name of the Lord over our city and our town. And so I say to other ministers, don't just come, buy a table. Buy two tables. If that's happening in your city, I don't know if it is, send people to it. Buy tables for it. You know, because it's those sort of things that when we do show up together, it says a lot. We went on a really intentional route when we had a new Lord Mayor, and I think I was given tickets away. I don't know. I said, I just felt, no, we've got to get people there and we've got to show up in numbers. I don't want someone to walk in a room and think, oh, this is just some little thing. It's the church. Because, if you read our newspapers, it's probably in today's newspaper, if you haven't heard, the Royal Commission Institutional Child Abuse, we've got clergy getting sentenced down just about 700 metres down the road, getting sentenced to prison right now. And our reputation's not great. And here in our city. But I tell you what, when we deliver on what we say, and we do what we say, something can shift and something can change. Because what's emerging is intentionality and strategic collaborative mission. One of the things that we're doing in our church, and we started this year when we discovered it was our birthday last year, we discovered when the church was started, and it was through Catherine one night. I just said, and it was that week, and I said, let's have a party that next weekend. And so we just celebrate. You guys are celebrating your sixth birthday. And so we celebrated last year the birth of the church. And I felt, we should take up an offering. But then I thought, I don't want to keep going, because we're always taking offerings for everything. But we did this year. I think it's important to celebrate the birth of a church, because what the Lord had in mind, what the Father had in mind in heaven manifested on earth. It was conceived and manifested through the hearts of men and women, faithful and courageous and faith-filled and sacrificial men and women for a purpose, for mission in the city. That's why it was born here. That's why it's here. That's why it exists. And so we took up an offering for it this year, and we didn't really beat it up. We just said, hey, guys, we're going to march. We're going to have a month, Dare to Dream. And our hope and our prayer is that the Lord will birth dreams and restart dreams and reignite dreams in your lives throughout the month. And at the end of the month, we're going to bring an offering to the Lord. We didn't really even tell. I got some of our folk here. We didn't even say, we didn't know what we're going to do with it. We said what we're going to do with it. We're going to give it away. probably at a time. Well, I mean, you could always use more money, couldn't you?
Yep.
And so we invited. We said we're going to give it away to local works beyond us that are here birthed for mission. Because I think that would be an expression of kingdom that we can do really, really easy here. And so I think $8,500 or $9,000 came in, and no coercion. It's like, oh no, let the Lord speak to you, you know, bring what you want to bring. I mean, normally if you celebrate a birthday, you bring a gift, don't you? Well, we want to bring a gift to the Lord and then celebrate it. And so we had this young guy come, Shem, his name is. Shem has planted a church in Hamilton South. So those of you who might be familiar with this area, Hamilton South, not the most affluent area and nicest place to be in. In fact, a lot of our guests come from Hamilton South, generational unemployment, housing commission precinct, a haven of drugs and all sorts of mess. And this guy and a few others said, we're going to plant a church in there. And we just thought, oh, how good is that? you know what? Because, I mean, everyone's going to the Gold Coast to plant a church. What about going to the dark places in our city to plant something? And we didn't have the capacity to do that, but we certainly wanted to celebrate that. We said, oh, Shem, come in. I knew I connected with him a few months before. Shem, come in and just share with our people what you're doing and share a message. And he's talking about this. And all our people, we were encouraged that this is happening in our city and we didn't have to do it, but someone else is doing it. You don't have to do everything. Just be released, you know. And then at the end of the service, we're just presenting with a check. He said, oh, here, mate, here's $1,000. We just want to bless you guys and your ministry because we love what you're doing. And I tell you, for us, and it's a really simple expression of what we're just to do, because we can't do everything. We're not doing everything. But we can do something to have an outworking of this grace that's upon us. And we feel like that's our thing. I feel like, hey, we're part of a church plant in Hamilton South, actually. What do you mean? Well, we're sowing into it. We're believing for it. We've got another couple in our church, bright people, a doctor. He's rewritten a program for ice addiction. Happening, piloted with through Samaritans, and he's going to be doing it here as well. And there was a seminar for people and families dealing with ice addiction. And they go over there and help. Is that all right, Rick? Yeah, of course it is, mate. Why wouldn't it be? Let's release our people. You know, release it and liberate it. We're going to just see bigger beyond our walls. And I tell you, the Lord's blessing and provision will continue. It's a grace on us. It's on us, guys. Now, it might not be manifesting fully, but I can tell you there can be some really simple things that can do to allow it manifest and allow it manifest in our people. We can do that. We are usually the people that allow things to come in and allow things to stay out. Allow the church of the city to emerge in the works that you're stewarding, that you're entrusted to, because it's not for you, it's for the city that you're in. Is that cool? Yeah. Amen. Come on, stand up. I just want to pray a blessing. Father in heaven, we thank you that you've called us. Lord, you've planted us in our places. And Lord, we want to take some responsibility. We don't want to take that lightly. Of course, we take it responsibly. But Lord, we want to take responsibility for our places. And so, Lord, extend and increase the grace upon us all. Lord, to be a great blessing to the body of Christ in our city, in Jesus' name. Lord, where we've been threatened by, where we've been, our insecurities, Lord, we want to lay down before you. Help us to celebrate those around us. We might not like everyone, we might not agree with everyone, but Lord, we're going to be a blessing to everyone. Yeah. Lord, we're going to move in another spirit, and it's the spirit that would come from heaven, and it's carried by the Holy Spirit, a spirit of generosity. Lord, might we think bigger. Might we have a mandate of the kingdom that would put an imprint on our landscapes that would last and echo into eternity in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this session from the Pioneer Conference Australia. I pray that the Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. God bless you.